Hey everybody, welcome to The Fin Factor. I'm Paul.
And I'm Aaron.
And this is episode number 202. And Aaron, we've added yet another fantastic piece of memorabilia to the set. Of course, cookies. Debbie stopped by. Debbie not long ago, actually. She left, what, maybe 10 minutes ago?
Yeah,
so she was here, dropped off some cookies for us. Which I told her I wasn't going to eat one while she was here. I was going to eat one on the show. So that will be coming up as soon as I don't have things to say. So I'll probably never get to it. But Aaron, do we know what kind of cookie these are? Do you know the ingredients?
They look like chocolate chip to me.
Yeah. Okay, very good.
You want me a deep dive
here on
the cookies?
This is what we do, folks. We do the in-depth analysis, okay? Whether it's Sharks hockey or cookies. So Aaron, do you know the specific ingredient? You said chocolate chips. What else might go into the chocolate chip? I know you're a chocolate chip cookie making connoisseur. You've made some really nice cookies in your day.
Oh yeah, I have it memorized.
Yeah,
you'd like to hear it.
Snores. Anyway, well then, so we have had a week of Sharks hockey that included more than a single game, which of course means that this will be a 2-hour show, so buckle up, folks. Aaron, we had four games. So the Sharks picked up a single point, which of course, if you are in my mindset for this season, not a bad thing.
It's an excellent week.
It's an excellent week. It really is, truly, yeah. So I think we still saw some good hockey. I think there was definitely a game here or there where it was just atrocious. But there was a little bit of good hockey sprinkled in with that one point. So, again, for me, the way that I think the season's going, and I can see the season's going, this is kind of what I'm looking to see. So that first game, though, really, really bad. scored. It was a, as Shang put it, sandwich. The Sharks scored the first goal and the last goal. And in between the Devils scored 7 in between. So that's
that was a pretty ugly game where it seemed like everything that could go wrong did go wrong in a way. I believe it was 1-0 after the first period.
Yeah.
So 7 of those goals came in 2 periods. The Sharks just seemed to. I mean, they said it after the game that they wanted to. They tried to play the game. Tried to play New Jersey's game, which is speed. Coming back and getting 2-on-1s and odd man breaks and stuff, and the Sharks are just not skilled enough to be able to handle that. So they need to play more of a tight defensive game, more of a conservative game, especially against a team like New Jersey. And when you don't, this is what happens.
Yeah, and of concern in this game, Mackenzie Blackwood actually goes down in the first period. Mm-hmm. Not saying that that's necessarily why the New Jersey Devils capitalized and scored 7 straight, but certainly didn't help when you've got...
No.
And it's not about Blackwood being a better goaltender than Kakinen. It's about, you know, you're expecting the start as Kakinen. You're expecting the backup role. You're expecting to be on the bench. You go through your warm-up, yes, but you're not really getting the same quality of warm-up as the starter is. And so when you're on the bench and you're just kind of chilling, you're thinking, okay, I'm helping with the door, taking notes or whatever, a stat sheet thing or whatever it is that they end up doing. And then all of a sudden you get thrust into a game, right? And so you have to be ready to jump in and just start going, you know, cold. Thankfully for him, it was in the first period. So he had like the rest of the game to kind of get himself going. But it did not seem to matter at all, actually. So, yeah, that was crazy to me that they just – rallied and pulled off 7 straight against Kapo.
You know, this is something that maybe a lot of teams were looking at in the league because Kakinen is seen as a guy that could be brought into their team as probably a 1B situation. This isn't going to help his cause. Now, if he came into that game cold and shut that team down, that probably would have bolstered his trade value big time. So who knows if we'll see Kakinen get traded. We don't know.
Yeah.
The trade deadline is this Friday, and we'll get into that in a little bit. But that certainly would have made the league, you know, look at it and go, wow. And if the Sharks were to have beaten New Jersey, Lindy Ruff was just fired today by New Jersey. Had the Sharks beat them, I think Lindy Ruff would have gotten fired the next day, which would have put the second coach that got fired after the Sharks beat them. The first was Jay Woodcroft in Edmonton.
And oh yeah.
Since then, Edmonton has been a completely different team and on a tear. But anyway, that could have been the second coach the Sharks gotten fired.
Are you expecting the Devils to maybe take off a little bit in the same vein that the Edmonton Oilers did after Woodcroft got fired?
I don't know if expecting is the right word, but it's possible. But they're getting towards the end of the season here. I think 21 games left for them to play.
Yeah.
When there's a new coach, there's usually a little bit of a boost by a team just because they want to kind of, you know, impress. And you have a new person that's in charge of the lines. And if they're saying, hey, this guy's playing harder than this guy, we're going to mix it up a little bit. They're going to want to put their own stamp on it. They're not going to be the same old, same old. So I wouldn't be surprised if we do see New Jersey kind of surge a little here. Plus the deadline is this Friday, so who knows, they could make an actual change on the roster and send somebody out and bring someone else in that could also boost the team a little bit.
Yeah, and as you said, that not really helping Capo raise his stock price, really. This could have been a game, as you said, if he had shown coming in cold that he can come in and solidify, you know, the net there. A team is going to look at this and go, is this a guy that I trust in the playoffs? If we do have an injury and have to throw him in there, is he going to get 7 goals scored on him like this?
Yeah.
So I think you're absolutely right. This might have hurt his stock a little bit. And again, we'll be talking a little bit about some of the potential trade targets. We talked about this in the last episode, but there's an article that Aaron had read from Shang, and it's got a little bit of more insights, and so we kind of wanted to bring some of that stuff to light as well. So, yeah, this one might have hurt Capo in terms of other teams looking for a goaltender to help solidify that 1B or that just that backup position if they have an issue with their main goaltender come playoff time. But we'll get to that in a bit. There was a clip here, and they're not really doing video clips much anymore, so we're just kind of using audio clips. Mm-hmm. But I've got a clip here from Nico Sturm and also one from Coach Quinn, and we're just going to do them back-to-back here. And essentially kind of what was going wrong in this game. So I think what we'll do is just go ahead and play it, and then we'll talk a little bit about what they had to say.
Sure.
Teams that they like to all jump in the rush, but eventually, especially I think if they're down, they make these high risk plays along the blue lines, and you get your scoring chances. So there's no need really to force something that's not there. You just gotta stay patient and play. I think the way that we've always like try to play, being structured and just being patient, we would have gotten our chances, and we were too. I don't know, offensive-minded. We thought we can make plays that are not there, and like I said, they're obviously way too skilled to not take advantage of those kind of mistakes, and so we deservingly lost in the fashion that we did.
Just stop passing the other team the puck. We did it over and over and over again tonight. I mean, it was just, our puck play was bad.
So I like the way Nico puts that, where he essentially says, like, patience, the word patience, right? They need to learn patience, and that's what you're going to get with a younger group. And we've seen the Sharks, especially on the blue line, very young core, right? So for them, I think having Nico Sturm there saying, hey, guys, we need to not try to push so hard in certain areas and do this hero hockey kind of thing, right? We need to learn this patience. And I think that's an important lesson from a veteran guy who's been there, done that, won a Stanley Cup. He's a depth player on the team, yes. But again, we've said on this show many times, I see him as a leader for this group, someone to look up to, and certainly someone I hope is with the Sharks for at least a few more years to come, because I think he brings a lot to a young group. So just being able to learn, you know, patience. When things aren't going your way, stick to the plan. Just keep doing what you're doing instead of trying to kind of think outside the box. Just go with what we know works and stick to it, right? And then the part that I thought was great with Coach Quinn, stop passing the team the puck, the other team the puck. I mean, it just seems so basic, of course, right? Like, just stop giving them the puck. But
I don't think they're doing it on purpose.
Right. But, like, it's so funny because...
Sloppy.
It is. It's sloppy. And, you know, I have the same discussion with my son, Jace, who there are times when it's, you know, they're fighting so hard to get the puck back, and then when they finally get it and they go, throw it out of the zone. It's like, yeah, great, you got it out of the zone, but you just handed it back to their defense. They're going to regroup and they're coming right back in, right? Learn patience. Take that extra look. See if you have pressure. If you don't, just skate the puck out. You don't have to try to dump it and throw it away, right? Just learning that level of patience to make the right decision, make the right call instead of the snap decision because you think that you're under duress or whatever the case may be. So that coming from Nico Sturm and from Coach Quinn, I like that he ended off with, it was bad. There was another part of that clip that I couldn't say because we are a family friendly show. But Coach David Quinn voicing his displeasure with the way the Sharks had played and how it's been the same old stuff for the entire season. So
interesting fact about this game: no power play goals by either team. And so that's 7 goals. Now that's a lot of plus minus. There's one defender on the Sharks who had an even plus minus. Want to take a guess?
No, I don't.
Ruda.
Oh, okay.
Jan Ruda, the only veteran that's on the defensive core. Thrun, Burrows, Emberson, Ferraro, Ahoychuk, all minus players.
Wow.
And then plus minus isn't the end-all, be-all stat, but it is a pretty telling stat when there's 7 goals against you and you are even.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. But I mean, the other way around. I mean, say when your minus is so far off, yeah,
right.
It's still, again, it doesn't tell you the whole story like the advanced stats would, but it's a very quick glance way of going, oh yeah, he didn't do too hot. Mm-hmm. When it's like a -1 or a -2 or something like that, yeah, sure, that advanced stat means more, right? But when you're talking about, you know, somebody was like a -4 or -5 or -6 or whatever.
Right.
Pretty much going to line up the same way with the advanced stat anyway, guys. I think.
Ahoychuk and Emberson -3 each. And then Ferraro -2. Yeah. Burrows and Thrun -1. It's not terrible, but.
Timo Time says, it's been poor effort from the whole team this whole trip. I've seen Zetterlund not even try in the defensive zone. Well, you've seen a lot of people not really try in the defensive zone. But yeah, we'll call it Zetterlund. Why not?
Zetterlund is one of those guys, and I think it's because he's young. He likes to kind of jump the gun to get out of the zone, where he's trying to create offense before they really completely get the puck 100% in the defensive zone. So kind of cheats for offense. I think that's how David Quinn likes to say it. They kind of push and go out of the zone before it's for sure that they have the puck, which... Granted, I think to me Zetterlund gets his chances doing that when it works, but when it doesn't work, yeah, he's out of position, and that's it's a split second decision, right? Like where you're out of position completely defensively and it's bad, or you're the other way around and you're going to get a break coming back the other way.
And that comes back to me about using that word patience. Mm-hmm. Instead of trying to rush yourself out of that zone because, oh my gosh, we're behind, I got to do something, right? And then you get away from what the coach is trying to get you guys to do, mm-hmm. right? I don't think Coach Quinn wants Zetterlund to sprint through the neutral zone before we've even really got good, solid control of the puck, right? Most times you want them to loop a little bit lower on the wall, get the puck to the winger, and then he's looking towards the center, right? There's better breakouts than just, hey, throw it all the way down the rink because I'm just going to skate as hard as I can, right? So I think that's one of those things that comes back to, you know, sticking to the plan. And it seems like that might have been one of those instances from a young player that is just trying to create offense and maybe going about it the wrong way. So there you go.
Yep.
We have anything else to say about the New Jersey game?
No, that's it.
You look like you wanted to say something else. Did you want to?
No.
No, you're good. No. Okay, we are going to move on. Sharks, Ducks, a 6-4 loss. Aaron, you were at this game.
I was.
You had a good time.
I did. It was a very entertaining game because it went back and forth, and the Sharks came back and tied it. They ended up losing. It was like a perfect effort because a lot of goals. There was a giveaway. The Sharks still lose, so it helps them in the standings. And it was the Ducks who were right above them, so it pushed some more separation between the two.
Right.
I had a great time, and I thought it was a good game. Granted, it was a... Was it a Tuesday night, I think, this game was? Or Thursday night?
This was a Thursday.
Thursday night. Yeah. Not a Saturday. Saturday night games are, I think, the best. They get more people in them. But that was a pretty good showing. I would say it was about 3/4 full, which for a Thursday night's not bad, at least these days.
And Anthony Duclair picks up 2 goals in this game, right?
He did.
I had tweeted out saying, or I'm sorry, posted. I X'd. I X'd.
So silly.
X to the Zigs. Anyway, I X'd, if you will, that Anthony Duclair, obviously a fan of the show. Hi, Anthony. And did not like what I had to say about him the last show that we had, because I just said, you know, again, I feel like I was hoping for a little bit more from Anthony Duclair this season. Statistically, he seems like he's doing okay, but just the eyeball test, I wasn't very impressed with a lot of the hustle. And I think a lot of his goals, like some of the goals he's getting are just these breakaway goals where maybe it's like a Zetterlin kind of thing that we just talked about where he's kind of maybe cheating outside the zone a little bit. They're hitting him with the pass and he's just kind of all in the offensive zone by himself, right? There's a few goals this season where I've seen him just as breakaways.
Yep.
You know, and I don't mind that. That's fine. But I was really hoping that he would be a part of the system more in terms of the effort that he's giving with the other four skaters on the ice. And for me, I just hadn't really seen it. In this game, he pulls out two goals, and again, just to shut me up, as the Sharks players like to do whenever I've got something to say about them on the, you know, the way that they play. Although there is one player who we'll talk about that I said something about, and I'm sticking to it, and I'm pretty sure all of Sharks territory agrees with me. So we'll get to him in just a minute. But Aaron, what else did you have to say about this game in particular?
It was kind of weird. There was Hoffman scored a goal, but it was off, off a defender. Well, at first they credited Duclair because it looked like he got a stick on
right.
it, and that would have been the second goal. And then they reviewed it later. Like it came maybe a minute or two later when they announced the goal, and they said there's a change, and it was not Duclair's goal, but it was Hoffman's goal. So anyway, then Duclair scores again, which is now his second goal of the game, and some people were confused or not paying attention, and they threw hats out on the ice thinking it was his hat trick goal. Yep. So it delayed the game a little bit because they had to clean up the hats. It was just kind of just a weird, I don't know, weird moment in the game
yeah.
that they had to pause and get the people out there to clean up the hats, but it wasn't like a ton of hats. It was like a dozen hats, like not a lot, you know, like just a little bit where it's like, well, they can't just play. They have to clear the ice. And it's not, it's too much for like just the refs to scoop them up.
Yeah.
So it was just, it was weird because they were like, look at the refs, like, well, are you going to get it? And then they're like, oh, no, we need to come out and scoop them up with a garbage can and get rid of them. So that was kind of a weird
solid moment. Handful of misinformed fans
yes.
That lost their hat for no reason
yes.
that night.
Yeah. And I was sitting behind the goal. So I was like, well, even if he actually does get a hat trick later in the game, like I can't even throw my hat
yeah,
onto the ice.
Netting.
I basically have to throw it at someone's face next to me so that they could throw it to someone else to throw it to someone else to get it around the net to get it over. Like, I don't know.
And now we're Vegas.
Yeah. And now we're Vegas. Yeah. So anyway,
hats in the face.
Great game. Entertaining. This is the kind of hockey I wanted to see from the Sharks this season, is a losing yet good effort game, you know? Like, they fought hard,
yeah.
but they lose in regulation so that they stay low in the standings to hopefully get a better pick.
Well, the next game, unless you're done, are we done talking about this? Okay, the next game, the Sharks wanted to see if they can maybe inch a little bit higher in the standings. They get a 3-2 shootout loss against Dallas in Dallas. This is a game that saw the second career start for young goaltender Magnus Crona. I think he was the NC2A champion, Magnus Crona.
Correct.
Nick
over
is,
Michigan.
There you go. There
a,
you go.
A very stacked Michigan
yes,
team.
Yeah. Absolutely. So he got his second start. He looked good. He looked pretty solid. For it now, again, this isn't one of those things that you're going to say, oh, he looked good in this one game. He should be an NHL starter. Like, he should have the grind of, like, 60 games, right? That's
no.
not at all, right? So maybe talk a little bit about Magnus and kind of curb some of the expectations that some other fans might have about this guy. Cause
this is going to be like, what, St. Louis when they went on their run after they fired their coach and pulled in their...
Oh, Bennington, yeah.
Bennington from up from... I think he was in the East CHL. I don't know if he was in the AHL. Yeah, it's not... This is not one of those moments. Magnus Crona is turning out to be a... good goalie. The future's still out on him. Who knows? With goaltending, it's kind of funky. So, I'm not so sure. I'm still not convinced. It was a great game. I'm glad he didn't get blown out because the last two times he played did not go very well.
Yeah.
Like, he had one start and he had one relief appearance, I believe.
Yes.
Maybe two relief appearances. But he looked pretty solid in this game and he made some pretty acrobatic saves. Now, this guy's a monster in net. I think he's at least 6'4", 6'5". And that's, you know, not on skates. So he's enormous in the net. In fact, one of our most watched reels is from the rookie camp when it was Will Smith doing a shootout attempt against Magnus Crona. And when you look at that, it's a 10-second video and he is so large in the goal. It just, it looks funny. Like, it just like, wow, that guy is so big and he's mobile. So
yeah.
he's quick. Like, He looks like he's got the speed of like a guy who's, I don't know, 5 inches shorter than he is. So he covers the goal net, or he covers the goal well. It made me happy to see him do well and not get blown out again. Because if it was another one of those efforts, it'd be like, man, this guy's just not it.
Yeah.
Now that kind of opens the door a little bit and gives him some confidence too. He is playing at the Barracuda level, but right now with Blackwood out, Corona's going to be on the bench. And then there was a back-to-back because they played the next night in Minnesota against Kakinen's old team. So they made sense to start him against Dallas. Right. Now, it's funny, is at the end of last week, we talked about the upcoming games. There's four. And I think I said the only two games they have a chance are the Devils and the Ducks. And they lose those ones.
Yeah.
And then they get a point on the road in Dallas, a very good team who's going to be in the playoffs. And they had their backup goalie in and somehow almost pulled out a win.
Not even their backup goalie, their AHL goalie, sure. Right?
Third string goalie, essentially. Yeah. So go figure. NHL.
I couldn't help but while I was watching the New Jersey Devil game, thinking after the first goal, like, oh, Aaron might have been right about this one. And then seven straight.
Yep.
I was like, never mind. Yeah, I'm happy for the way things went this week. I don't need us to climb any higher in the standings.
Right.
There's no point, and I know that there's no player who's thinking, oh gosh, let's tank, right? Nobody's actually thinking that. But as a fan, I would like to see us have the greatest opportunity to get the highest pick possible, even if we lose the draft pick by the lottery. Even if we lose that, I would rather get bumped down to number two than get bumped down to number three or four or five or whatever. So
right.
I'd be happy to be as low as humanly possible.
You know, if we go back to last season, going into the trade deadline, the last week or two before the deadline, the Sharks just imploded. I don't know if you remember this. It is a mental thing on all the players that are speculations for months going into that. Oh, are they going to get moved or they're not going to get moved? I think that weighs heavily on certain players. Now, Sturm talked about this last week. I think he used the quote. I think I used it last week. But he talked about it last week where, for him personally, he doesn't affect him much. He's a very, I don't want to say this the wrong way, but mentally stable person. Not that nobody else is, but a very confident in himself kind of person.
Yeah.
Doesn't really get bogged down by a lot. He's just a very cerebral, very smart guy. I am not. I can't.
Cerebro was the machine that Professor Xavier used.
Got tongue-tied a little.
He also had a shaved head.
He did have a shaved head. Maybe smarter, but it's okay. Anyway,
what I'm getting at is there's some other players that have been in the trade rumor mill for a while now, and this week is not going to be a good week for them. Even last week. Like, it's just kind of a mind game, you know?
Yeah. And maybe they started this week off in that vein, of course, with the way that they lost and everything. And moving on to the game in Minnesota, I should say, there was something that happened, somebody who didn't get to play, and this is the guy I was talking about earlier, Kevin LeBanc scratched in this game. Now, this is, again, him saying, you know, I just need the opportunity. Well, I feel like he's had the opportunity repeatedly over the course of several years. And this is kind of what's happening with him now is he's no longer getting the opportunity. It's okay, words are hard. Thank you, Andy Mann.
Great picture, too, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
I'm a mug. Half man, half dog.
I'm my own best friend. Anyway, people on the podcast are very confused right now. No, but I guess what I was saying was with LeBanc being scratched again, it could be one of those things like you're just saying where the trade deadline is looming and he wants to have that opportunity. And so he says publicly, I just need that opportunity, as if to say, please, any other team, take a chance on me. But
his agent did get permission to talk to other teams too. So there are, I don't want to say there's interest, but they've been shopping him around basically.
Yeah, I wouldn't say there's interest either.
Right.
But, if I was his agent, I'd ask for permission to get chopped around, too. And if I was the Sharks, I would love for him to get chopped around. So, yes, please, you guys go ahead and do all the legwork in trying to get this guy moved on. New nickname, Professor X. I guess that's for you. Professor A, maybe. How about that? Or Professor S. I like that one.
S. Almost.
We're going to keep working with it. You guys keep spitballing ideas. We're going to keep going. So he was scratched, okay? And the thing that was interesting to me on this one was that they only dress 11 forwards and they dress 7 defensemen. However, Kalen Addison, defenseman, ended up playing as a forward. When you are getting scratched as a forward, mm-hmm. and the guy that they have in your spot is a defenseman, you're done. I'm sorry, you're done. But maybe not just with this team. You might just be done, like NHL. I don't know. No, when they're saying I would rather have a defenseman play as a forward, you're done.
Sharks too. The thing is, like, the Sharks have they have no skill. And they need players that work hard, and he's not that player. I think there's still a job and a space for him, not at his current salary, obviously. When he has a smaller contract, a much less money contract, next year, I'm assuming, I think there'll still be a place for him in the NHL. He's still young.
If you can't find a spot on the San Jose Sharks roster and a defenseman is playing as a forward instead of you, you're done.
I mean, they've been using, was it McDonald? Or
but McDonald, McDonald? Yes, but McDonald is a defenseman slash forward. He does play both. They're not just like, nah, let's throw him in there and see what happens, right? I don't know why I went on like Cagney there. Mash, eh? But I don't know why. McDonald makes sense. They said in the beginning of the season, we're going to play him as a forward, we're going to play him as a defenseman, right?
This is from Timo time. LeBanc is the type of forward that needs to be carried by his line. Tampa Bay is a great fit. I don't disagree with that. I feel
if you're a guy that needs to be carried by your line, you're not an NHL player.
There's
I'm sorry.
A lot of players like that in NHL where they do well when they are carried by a line. They elevate their game when they're playing with people. They can't carry the line themselves, but when they're with higher end people, they're not carrying the line, but they're producing and doing well.
You know who can do that as well? Anyone. If you put anyone with two high-profile players, they're probably going to do okay. They're probably going to do okay. All I have to do is move the puck to Nathan MacKinnon. Guess what? I got an assist now. All I have to do is wait for Connor McDavid to shoot it off the pads, which he won't. He'll just score. But anybody shoots it off the pad, and I'm there for a rebound. Right? I mean, I don't know, dude. I think
still think he gets a contract.
And I hope he does. Again, everyone's going to say, oh, Paul hates Kevin LeBanc. And
not
he
with
wants
the Sharks,
him, you know?
Obviously. I think he still has a place in the NHL.
I would be shocked.
Oh, you think he's going to go KHL?
I don't care if you get paid league minimum. If you need the other people on your line in order for you to be able to do anything, which, by the way, he hasn't done anything, then what good are you? I don't care if I'm paying you league minimum. What good are you? Right? I would like to see him play in the AHL and see what he does at the AHL level, because this player right now is not an NHL player, and I wonder if playing in the AHL would bring back some confidence.
I don't think so.
Or if it would show his true colors, that this is where he belongs.
Andy, man, LeBanc has had 255 games over the last 5 years to show that he's something else, and he hasn't. Three different coaches have benched him. He's 28, almost 29. He is what he is. He is one-dimensional.
Andy, man,
I'm not disagreeing with that, but I still think there's a place for him on a team that will want a one-dimensional forward or could use a one-dimensional forward at the right price.
The Andy man can. It's a Willy Wonka reference. Anyway, so, Aaron, was there anything else about this game that you wanted to call out? Again, the main thing here for me, the main takeaway was that a struggling, constantly healthy scratched Kevin LeBanc was replaced with a defenseman. That is the takeaway. And if that is not kind of the Sharks season in a whole, I don't know what is. So I will say Paul dislikes the banker. I don't dislike him. I'm done. Okay. Like you can have, a significant other and you still like them, but you're done, right? They're a good person, I'm sure, and they do what they do very well, but they're just not for me. That's Kevin LeBanc, okay? I'm breaking up with you, Kevin. I'm sorry. It's over. The honeymoon's over.
Yeah, I don't need to dump on him anymore. After this game, our buddy Paul, who is a Dallas Stars fan, a different Paul, not this Paul, Dallas Stars fan, he's from Dallas, so he's like a legit Stars fan, not some bandwagoner. Yeah. Texted the group because he was asking about Magnus Crona because he just watched the game and was like, wow, this guy's pretty legit. So other fans were noticing Magnus Crona and how beastly he was in this game. I just want to give him credit when credit's due because he played very well. And they went to a shootout, and he almost stopped. Was it Jamie Benn on the shootout goal? He almost got his toe on it.
Took out his feet.
Yeah. Like it was
that swipe with the beach paddle.
Yeah.
That was nice.
But anyway, he had some pretty incredible saves. There's one highlight reel save where he dove behind him with the paddle and got it out of the goal, and then was very fortunate that Marchment pang it off the post instead of burying it in the empty net. But hi, Debbie. Hi, guys. Home was able to listen on YouTube. Great seeing you all. Thank you again for the cookies.
Yes, thank you for the cookies. You'll notice there are a few missing. I had one. I don't know if you heard me have it. I told her I would have one on the show as opposed to while she was here.
Everybody in the podcast heard.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, Super Producer Jason did some magic and muted that, but
no.
No?
I can't highlight it. ASMR.
Sorry, guys.
Cookie eating.
please relocate the box of cookies. I'm getting triggered. Scott, nice. No, Scott, we're going to leave it right here. deal with it. okay, so are we done talking about the Minnesota game then?
Oh,
I think you mentioned Kaprizov went off.
Oh, Dallas. I was still talking about Dallas.
Okay, we were talking about LeBanc getting scratched. He went back to Dallas, to be fair. Okay, we were going forward, he went backwards.
Well, LeBanc was also scratched in the Dallas game.
See, I missed that. I missed that it was both games.
That's why I thought you were talking about the Dallas game still, because he was scratched from that one as well.
Okay, yeah.
Seven defensemen.
I might be misremembering. My apologies if Kevin LeBanc was not scratched.
Not scratched in the Minnesota game.
So I was still talking about the Dallas game, and I just didn't know it. There you go. Regardless, the fact that it happened is the standout thing for me. So
right.
I don't know if there's, again...
Well, they scratch him and they almost get a win.
Yeah.
That's kind of telling.
He's just, again, I think he should have a game or two or three or 75 at the AHL level to just see what he does there, because I don't think he's going to bring NHL caliber skill to the AHL, and he just needed a chance. I just don't see it anymore. You say he's a playmaker. Frankly, I don't see that either. For me, him backhanding it off the wall to Burns is not playmaking. That's just, he's throwing the puck. And I just, again, I'm just not seeing it out of him. And it's unfortunate because, again, I'm sure Kevin's a great guy. I'm sure that he is out there working hard every single day. I'm over Kevin LeBanc as a Shark, and I'd like to move on. So
I don't think you're alone in that thinking either. Sorry, real quick. Peter St. John's asking about Kevin LeBanc's career stats.
Real quick, would you give him another contract, even at league minimum, as a Shark?
On the Sharks? No, I think he's done with the Sharks.
Okay.
Right now, I think if the Sharks were in a different position like they were when he first entered the league, where, what was it, Pavelski was kind of on that third line with him, where their skill was so much that he fit in and had somebody there, yes, I would do another one. 469 career games, 82 goals, 141 assists, 223 points.
It's not bad.
And his best year was in 2018-19, where he had 17 goals, 39 assists for 56 points. That is a great year.
So that's what? He averages, what, half a point per game over his career?
Yeah.
Is that what that's not bad. That's great. Just lately.
Oh, yeah.
It's
the last three seasons, four seasons.
I'm sure that the last three, four seasons have absolutely tanked that average. Right?
Yeah.
So I think he's just kind of, again, it's not so much that, oh, he's old and he's fallen off. I think he's just skill-wise and maybe confidence-wise, he's just fallen off a bit. And
it's time for a change of scenery for him. And he knows it too. And that's his agent has been talking about it and shopping him around. So it's
Do you think, and maybe this is maybe getting into the next little segment here, but I was going to ask about if other teams might at all be interested in this guy. I can't imagine because of the 4.7 or whatever million, right?
That's what I think. I think him in a playoff, I mean, his playoff history, though, was okay. I don't want to say it was great. I don't think it was great.
I think we're all thinking about the Vegas game.
One game.
And again, if you take a look at the majority of those points, it was move the puck to somebody else.
But it was on the power play.
And it was on the power play, yes.
Where you have more time and space.
Yes.
When you don't have the time and space, it's 5-on-5, and it's a playoff game,
yeah,
and it gets gritty. I wouldn't want him. No.
So, now that we've kind of done that, that's what I'm saying. He has the potential with the right team and coach. Peter St. John still has some hope. For Kevin LeBanc. Again, I hope he goes and finds a contract somewhere else. I am just not seeing it. No chance he's getting another contract with the Sharks, as Sharks, Oregon. Yeah, you know, again, it's one of those things where you look at it and you go, you know, if you pulled him in for league minimum and you're just looking for warm bodies and losses, then maybe it makes sense to just give him, like, one more contract. But I just, I don't see it. I really don't. LeBanc can stay new water Scott. Terrible, Sky, almost as bad as me. Aaron, we're going to go ahead and do the roll call now, and then we'll kick off this last little topic here. So, no team is taking LeBanc at that cap. Yeah, absolutely. It'd have to be a three-team trade. I agree with you, Timo Time. I just don't see it happening. So, roll call. Where are you guys watching from? What city are you watching from? And do you think that Mike Greer is going to make a big splash during this trade deadline? I don't know that he has anything to make a big splash with.
No, the only thing I'm kind of hopeful for, because I think all the players that could be moved,
yeah,
none of them are going to get really a high pick coming back. I would think, at best, a second rounder. I think that would be ideal, at least for the players. But yeah, what I do think that they could do and leverage is their cap space. I think if they're in a three-team trade,
mm-hmm,
just to take a player and use their last retention slot for salary withholding and getting a pick out of it, that's where I think they could make a splash, if you will, of getting, like, possibly a late first round pick.
Or forget the retention slot and just having a player that's just bring them on the roster.
A salary dump where you're taking on a Michael Granlund type player who was a salary dump at the time for the Carlson trade. And so was Hoffman. So something like that, but getting maybe a prospect, because they have to move a prospect or a pick.
Yeah.
Prospect, like, for contract reasons to get an extra space for that other player going to the other team. So who knows? That would be, to me, ideal. I don't know if Granlund will get moved. He could, but he don't necessarily. I think the price is too high because he has another year. The price is in the salary that would going to the new team, but also the Sharks don't necessarily need to move him because he's under contract and he's been having a great year, not just on the ice, but off the ice, mentoring a bunch of players. So I think that's a pretty invaluable thing for the Sharks.
Mm-hmm.
Same with Ferraro. Ferraro's another guy that doesn't have to get moved. He still has two more years left, I think, and a very affordable salary. What I'm trying to say is, like, the price to get those guys, not saying that they're not going to get traded, but the price is higher than if they were a UFA.
Mm-hmm.
If they were going into their UFA year and they were a true rental, then absolutely I think they would get moved because there is a lot of interest for those guys.
Ben and Gunsbury says, fire sale, getting close to nothing in return. I think that's kind of what we're saying here.
It's not worth it to me.
Yeah.
Like, doing a fire sale will just take anything.
Yeah.
And you know everyone's just going to dump on Greer and say, that was a terrible trade. Why would you do that?
Yeah.
That kind of thing. So it's a lose-lose situation for Mike Greer, I feel like.
Peter St. John thinks the only two guys we have that could possibly trade is either Couture or Hurdle, and given their injuries, no. I think the other guys are tradable on this team. I just don't know how much of a market there is for these guys after all.
I think Duclair will get moved. I think there's going to be teams that are going to want Duclair, and he's going into his UFA season. So there's a little bit less of a risk there. They're not keeping him or anything. But he's not going to be getting a first-round pick. He's not that kind of player that would be getting that. Cunnan is another one that's been linked to
Edmonton.
Yeah. I could see them sending maybe a second or third for him. Maybe a prospect or a player coming back. Who knows? But that price is a little bit higher because he's an RFA, not a UFA. Barabanov has had the worst time to have a terrible season. Yeah. So I don't know if he'll get moved. I could see a team maybe going for Justin Bailey just to have a fourth line guy. I would like Justin Bailey on my playoff team.
Absolutely.
That energy he brings and the hard skating and the forechecking he does, that's exactly what you need for a playoff team. And penalty killing, too.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Justin Bailey has really impressed me. It's unfortunate that it's, you know, he's got, it's just a 1 year contract, right? I mean, he's yeah. So, I mean, I would love to see Justin Bailey return because, you know, the way that Greer is starting to build this team, getting ready for the young, skilled assets coming in to really do their thing and start to grow as NHL players, I would love to have Justin Bailey as a part of that process. Maybe once they're established and you know, you can move him on to somebody else and just get another fourth liner, right? And you're focused more on the offensive talent on your top six. Mm-hmm. But for right now, I love Justin Bailey's hustle. I love everything about the way the guy plays. Puck doesn't necessarily go in the net often, but that's not what you're looking for out of him. So I would love to have him come back. Now, on the other side of this, if you get a decent enough return for this guy, 100%, you move him, right?
Yeah.
And I don't think he's one of those guys that is necessarily, oh, you know, we traded for this guy, we have to re-sign him, we have to have him, right? So he'd probably be available on the free agent market after the season's you know, done and gone. They could probably just re-sign the guy then. So well,
if he doesn't get moved, I could see them signing him, maybe an extension.
Yeah.
1 or 2 years or something. He's earned it, in my eyes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'd love to see him come back. Mm-hmm. Let's see. So the trade deadline is this Friday, noon Pacific Standard Time. So I imagine that we'll end up doing a show before that because something has got to move here, right? And this is one of the questions that I have for Aaron and for you guys. So please put it down in the comments there. Why haven't we seen any movement yet? I mean, it's Monday night. Trade deadline is Friday noon.
There really hasn't been a ton, not just the Sharks.
Yeah, like, just in general. There's no movement.
It could be because there's so many teams playing this week. I don't know. And it's the standings are pretty tight, so they need to figure out if they're buyers or sellers. That's always a problem.
I mean, 3 days away before. And they don't know yet if they're going to be buyers or sellers. I mean, even the New Jersey Devils, I think we said they had 62 points and they were like 8 points out of like a wild card spot, something like that. I mean, even them, we talked about them having defensive troubles. Are you telling me that they don't think that they can, in the last 21 games, maybe pick up 8 more points than the competition by adding a solid defenseman, maybe a Ferraro, right? Are you telling me that's... not in the cards for them? It's strange.
Yeah.
It's strange seeing us get this close to the trade deadline and we've seen, what, Ilya Lyubushkin go to Toronto, right? I mean, there's not a whole lot that's been going on. And it's just strange to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I don't have the answers. I don't know. There's not, like, a reason for it.
Has anybody in the chat had an answer? Perhaps... Peter St. John with some fantastic insights.
Anonymous sources.
There you go.
Peter St. John. There aren't too many teams who actually have assets we're trading for, like, say, Minnesota, possibly. I just, like, the salary cap has been, it's gone up a little bit, but it's still been pretty stagnant the last couple of years. I think that's part of it, just the cap crunch. Teams are just kind of, I don't know. To me, like, even going into this draft... this draft isn't very strong compared to last year's. So if I were a team, it's looking to make a push. Who cares? Like, trade away those draft picks. It's not worth it this year. I don't know. I don't have an answer.
So of the Sharks that we had talked about, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know we talked about maybe Duclair getting being able to get moved, and we talked about, you know, Ferraro or Granlund, but there doesn't seem like there was a lot of interest in Sharks players. At least that's, I think you read an article from Sheng, and it seemed like he was saying that there's not as much demand for these Sharks players as maybe the fan base is hoping for.
Well, look at last year, we had Timo Meier, who got moved at the deadline to New Jersey, but we don't have any kind of blue chip player. I mean, he's on New Jersey's team, he's not even on the top line. So
yeah,
yeah, he was the top line of the Sharks, but That's because the Sharks really had nobody else. Mm-hmm. So now we're looking at guys that are going to be third liners pretty much on any team that's going out there. They're not going to be trading first round draft picks for a third liner. So with Hurdle out, with Couture out, and who knows, we haven't even gotten an update on Couture in a while. If he's even going to play, I bet they shut him down for the season. There's no reason to rush him back.
I hope they shut him down for the remainder of the season. There's no reason to try to bring him back. Mm-hmm. If he already thought he was healthy, came back, played a few games, and then was right back out again, there's something wrong. I would not rush him back at all. 8 points is a lot to make up at this point. I agree with you. At the same time, if you are able to shore up the issues that you have, we're talking about New Jersey Devils in this case here. If you're able to shore up the issues that you have like defensive woes, right? And let's say a twofer, Jan Ruda, Stanley Cup champion, he's got veteran experience. If you put him as your depth defenseman alongside somebody else on your roster who you trust, or Mario Ferraro. I mean, I think that those guys are very NHL capable. Mm-hmm. And just like Kevin LeBanc, maybe if you put them with somebody who's a little bit more adept at their position, they would shine a little bit brighter, right? That's your point.
I would think Ruda would have some interest because he's only at $2.75 million. That's pretty cheap. Granted, he would be probably a third pairing defenseman.
Which is fine.
Defenseman.
Yeah.
But he has, to me, he's shown how great defensively on the Sharks. I think he's been the best defensive defenseman the Sharks have this all season. Consistent.
And the way I see it is, if I'm a team that's playoff bound and I want to make a trade and bring someone in, I'm either trading assets and futures for like a big offensive talent, right, to bring into my team. I'm just missing that one, you know, second line scoring winger guy. I need him. So you go out and you trade everything for them. Or your team is fine and you're just trying to find pieces in case you have an injury to plug someone in. Probably not even a guy that is necessarily going to be dressing on any given night, but just somebody that you have in your system who's maybe a veteran presence that you trust. So in case you do have an injury, you have somebody that you can plug in that you're going to trust, right? And I think the Sharks have a plethora of those guys at various positions.
That's all they have.
But that's what's so intriguing to me about the fact that the Sharks haven't made a trade yet, is that we have so many guys who, frankly, aren't getting paid that much.
I mean, it could be also that Greer's, you know, this happens a lot where there's a very hot player on the market and there's several teams going for him, right? That person hasn't moved yet. As soon as that person moves, the floodgates open because those teams go, okay, he's gone. Now we have to go our second best option or third best option or fourth best option because we need to get somebody to plug in for this. That could be part of the reason why we haven't seen really anything in the league going on right now. Hanifin, I think, is the one that's in Calgary that's supposed to get moved, and that's kind of holding up for defensemen at least. I wanted to highlight a comment here from Bry Carr. I think Ferraro to the Devils makes sense. No GM in the league wants to help New Jersey more than Greer, since the condition of the Meyer trade was to bump the second round to a first. Yes, but they still have to make the playoffs. So give him all the players.
Please. Well, that'll sink your team if you give him all the players. No, but I mean, you don't make the playoffs unless you make a change in the position that you need to make the change in. And honestly, if this is something that's going to help New Jersey make it to the playoffs, you would think that they'd acclimate him to their system as soon as humanly possible, not just wait. Now, maybe they're in on the Noah Hanifin deals, right? Maybe they're in those talks, right? And if Noah Hanifin doesn't go through for them and it goes through for somebody else, then yeah, maybe the floodgates open and you start seeing defensemen get, you know, taken every which way. But it's just strange to me that the Sharks have so many players of various positions that could be a depth piece on several other contending teams just in case they have injury. And we just, again, we're like 3.5 days away and we haven't seen anything yet. It's a little bit mind-blowing to me.
Ruta is also our top point-scoring defenseman on the roster, surprisingly. That's sad. Oh my God!
I mean, we're used to Brent Burns and Erik Karlsson and Dan Boyle and all those guys.
I'm not expecting Karlsson like 100-point season or even a 60-point season, but I would think somebody would have more than Ruda. That's crazy.
That sounded disrespectful.
No offense, But that's not what his role is, you know? Yeah. Like, that to me, wow. Wow. So the top guys that are on the TSM board is Jake Guentzel in Pittsburgh, yes. The forward. That's probably the best forward. Noah Hanifin in Calgary. Adam Henrique in Anaheim. Chychrun.
Yeah.
Jacob. He's now in Ottawa.
I don't know if it's Jakob or Jacob, but I think it's Jakob Chychrun. Anyway.
Tarasenko's up there. Vetrano's up there. Jacob Markstrom's another one. Now, did you hear the news, or did you hear what Markstrom said in the news?
No.
Oh, man. So he's locked up for another season or two in Calgary. It's not like he's a UFA.
Okay.
He basically came out and said, like, just kind of trashed the GM of Calgary. Like, it was kind of shocking, wow. Like, what he said. Someone had asked him a question in the postgame report, and it's kind of like one of those softballs, like, oh, hopefully I get some kind of answer. And he dropped some kind of, like, bombshell. I was like, whoa, I don't even know what it is. I can't remember off the top of my head like exactly what it was. But it was something that, like, you never hear a player talk about their GM like that while they're still on the team, especially. Like, it's crazy. So, I have a feeling Markstrom's going to get moved. And if not, it's just going to be super awkward. But that's a big piece right there. That's like, I think it was because he was linked to be going to New Jersey. He has a full no movement clause. He waived it. And then the piece that was coming back to New Jersey to Calgary, I think the Calgary GM was like, no, deal's off. After already telling Markstrom and getting permission to get moved. So that kind of messed with him a little bit, you know? Yeah, that was just like, wow. So anyway, a lot of logjam kind of.
And that was the top goalie on that list. So do you think maybe after he gets moved, we see Kapo?
Yes.
The floodgates open, if you
exactly.
will.
Exactly. Yeah. Right now it's a logjam. We need some of these top-end players to go so that the bottom ones could catch a bone on a team, if you will.
All right, well, other GMs around the league, hurry it up already, you know? It's ridiculous. I cannot believe it. I honestly, this to me seems like the slowest trade deadline that I've ever experienced. That just league wide, not even just Sharks. Just, you know, there's no movement.
But you know what's going to happen when the floodgates open? It's going to be like there's 30 trades in one day. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah. All right, well, that'll be fun. So I'm sure we'll be right here at the day after or the day of when all this stuff starts going down. If it starts going down, I don't know. I'm losing faith.
Oh, speaking of Calgary, did you guys see that Kipper got his number retired by the Flames?
Oh, nice.
I think that happened last week.
Pretty good. Congratulations to Mika Kiprusoff. That's awesome. Yeah, good stuff. Oh, thank you, Peterson John, for letting us know about that. Okay, Aaron, anything else you want to talk about with regard to trade deadline? You want to speculate at all? Or
I mean, no, because I don't like trade rumors. I think they're just full of fluff. I mean, you could really just go through Cap Friendly and go, this makes sense, this makes sense, this makes sense, and then throw out and say, here's a rumor I heard.
And we're not one of those shows that, you know, we've seen this a million times, and it happens every season, where it's like, oh, here's a trade rumor, and it's like one thing after another, and oddly enough, everyone is linked to Toronto, by the way. There's everybody.
They're all
linked to Toronto, So, but no, it's you could throw 1,000 of these rumors at the wall, and then when one of them happens to go down because you just said every possible trade scenario that could have ever existed, and so one of them actually happens, and you go, oh, look, see, we called it. We're not one of those shows. We're not like that. So, yeah, we're not really going to kind of speculate and do all that stuff, but I think it'd be interesting to hear or see some potential trade scenarios, and maybe we kind of go, yeah, that would make sense, but unfortunately we don't. Anything like that. You're laughing at something.
I'm laughing because there's a site that I used to follow a long time ago called Hockey Buzz. I don't know if you've heard of it.
I have not.
It's a subscription hockey rumor thing. I never subscribed to it, but I would never do that. Somebody ran the numbers, and if the amount of trades that were correct on that site was less than if you randomly generated trades. It was like 2.5% versus like 3.1% of random trades that would go through.
And this is why we don't give any weight to like rumors.
Sorry to use the name. Yeah, usually I wouldn't use the name, but that was the place.
So
full of it.
Again, it's fun. It's fun to speculate, and it's fun to be like, oh, what if this, you know? But like, yeah, it's a lot of things that you hear out there. It's a leak. I have an anonymous source, and it's trash. Anyway.
Great question here by Peter St. John. Is Granlund the Sharks' MVP this year?
Is Granlund the Sharks' MVP this year?
I'll tell you right now, He is leading the Sharks. He's finally surpassed the injured.
But is that all we're looking at? Is all we're looking at is, no. is point production?
To me, he's been the most consistent Shark on the when he's on the ice because he was injured for, I think, two different stints. Right now, I would say for me, Granlund is the MVP. Maybe second would be a split of Blackwood and Kakanen. I couldn't pick one over the other for goalies.
It's not the popular opinion here, because
Matt Benning, you cannot looking at,
there you go. No, he's got, you know, 11 more games played and he's got 9 less points. So you would think this doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. I already know what
you're saying. It doesn't make sense. Well, of course you know where I'm going with this. I for me, William Eklund has been phenomenal this season. I've loved watching every second of him play, right? Whether the puck goes in or doesn't, whether the guy he's passing it to can bury it or not, the man is electric. I've watched him too many times when he's got the puck on his stick do something fantastic. And yeah. In a season where points don't matter because we're going nowhere, when we talk about what is the point of watching this season, right? That's the thing we said at the beginning. Right. How do we watch the Sharks? For what reason? We're watching the Sharks for the entertainment value, not for where they're going to end up in the standings. We're watching, specifically, we said Eklund's growth, right? Not just rookie's growth, Eklund's growth. So for me, in terms of the most value that I'm getting out of this season, it's got to be William Eklund. He has been, like I said, absolutely electric. With and without the puck. You know what? I'll say this. He has shown me that a small guy can be feisty as heck.
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
I mean, watch again, you take the guy and he's got such skill, but he's just so, like, he's wiry. He's just, you know, he looks like he's, like, small. And maybe he's not underneath all that padding. I don't know.
He's elusive, though. He's not
absolutely
easy to hit. Yeah.
And that's just it. But
he plays bigger than he is, too, in the corners.
But he doesn't really get hit, but when it's time to hit,
yeah.
He gets in there. Yeah. When they're in a scrum, he's face washing. Mm-hmm. You know, he's feisty. You know, so it's a nice, rare combination of this little guy who has electric stick handling and skating, mm-hmm. edge work, all that stuff. But then you combine it with this willingness to get in and be scrappy. You know, and
he's definitely added that to his game because it was not there in the beginning.
Not that I saw, at least. I didn't see it. I mean, and again, I'm reminded of, we talked about this on the show previously, where he skated in, spin move, shot, is backing up, sees them starting to break out of the zone, chases him down, stick lift, poke check, not just poke check to nothingness, to the void, right? Poke checks it to his defenseman. Mm-hmm. That's a smart heads up play. And it's just a good amount of hustle. So for me, again, if we're just looking at points, take whoever's on the top of the list, in this case, Mikael Granlund. But the way that we're watching this season, William Eklund makes it the most watchable out of any of the Sharks players.
I think Eklund is definitely the most improved out of everybody. Zetterlund's another one.
Yeah.
I think that's right behind Eklund in terms of growth. But to me, Granlund is the kind of player that when he's on the ice, he's making everyone around him better. Most consistent player when he's on the ice, and that line, whenever line he is on, he's leading that line. That's why I think he would win it for me. And again, it's not just points based.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To me, he wins that over Eklund because Eklund didn't start off that way. He got better, and he's definitely better now. But two different awards for me. MVP would be Granlund, and definitely most improved is Eklund.
Okay, I'm gonna put this to the chat, and then I want you to answer this. Okay, so chat, if forget money, money's not salaries. We're not in talking about salary at all. Okay, just players. Okay, if you're a team and you're looking to add a player to your roster, and it's your playoff team or whatever, right? We're not trying to for futures. Okay, you're adding a player to your roster for the remainder of the season. Would you rather have William Eklund, or would you rather have Mikael Granlund? If you're, again, if you're another team and you're looking,
age is also a factor.
No, forget about all that. Just
it's a completely player
skill.
Player skill. That's not a fair question.
It is though. It is
because we haven't seen Eklund at his best. We've seen Granlund at his best in the NHL.
Oh, so you think it's not fair because Granlund wins it hands down? Is that what you're saying?
No. My point is, we know Granlund's could be a 60 point player. That's where his kind of ceiling was at.
Okay.
He's already kind of past that, but we've already seen the best of Granlund. We haven't seen the best of Eklund. So, of course, there's potential there. Right now, if just I were this, trading for somebody,
just for the next 21 games,
I would take Granlund over Eklund.
You would.
I would.
For the next 21 games, you have a choice between those two players.
Because of
experience.
Money's
no object, and you just take one of the
other. If I'm taking a player that I'm going to have locked on my team for the future, Eklund. Then obviously Eklund. Yes. But if it's just one season going to the playoffs, I want Granlund because of the experience and also the face-offs.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay. Chat, did you say anything yet? Because I'm curious what you guys have to say about this. Is anybody saying anything?
They say Paul needs to stop talking. No, I'm just kidding. Nobody said that. I said that.
Lies!
Every day, more lies. I'll just, there's some Eklund and Granlund here. Granlund has been glorious this year. If we look to move him next summer, I think we can get a big haul for him. Eklund has looked so mature this year. He's learning and growing as a player so quickly. Peter St. John, Eklund is clearly our most skilled player. I don't disagree with that. Timo time. Eklund, Smith, Celebrini. Disgusting.
Yeah.
Zetterlund has been fun to watch grow to. Oh, I was going to tell you. Smith.
Yeah.
You said stick lift. He is known for his stick lift.
Will Smith.
Yes.
Okay.
So, sorry.
Yeah, Giovanni.
Oh, no, sorry. Will Smith. So next season, I think we're going to see a lot of that stick lift on the back check.
Yeah.
Granlund has saved the power play too. Granlund is 11 years older. Comparing him with Eklund is not fair comparison because of
because like I said, it's just 21 games. If I just want this guy or this guy for the next 21 games, we're not talking about in the future I'm going to sign him to a long-term contract. No, I'm just saying for 21 games, if you were to have this guy or this guy, then you wave goodbye forever.
If I could have 27-year-old Granlund or 27-year-old Eklund, that's a different story.
I'm not saying that.
No, but my point, because that's where you can compare them. Like
I can compare them right now, and I just did.
All right, Peter St. John, Granlund, experience, if I can re-sign Eklund, unless I can re-sign Eklund. I still would take...
You still would take...
Granlund, okay. Yeah. Experience in face-offs when it comes to, playoffs is huge.
Okay.
Eklund getting destroyed in the face-off circle, I think, would be a deal breaker. Assuming he's only there for those playoffs, and he's not there for the future.
Is he still playing center though, Eklund?
Has been because he has been. Hurdle and Kucherov have been out. Yeah, and I've seen him at the game I was at. He was getting thrown out of the face-off circle a lot.
Might have been on purpose. Doesn't want to take the face-off. Just get tossed, and somebody else take it.
Ben and Grunsry just had a 40-year-old jumbo.
Oh, there you go.
I'll take a 30-year-old jumbo.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for that one, Ben. Okay, are we done with the trade talks and stuff?
Yeah.
All right, very good. Upcoming games.
Wait, I will say.
Never mind.
If and when there are trades, we will be doing a show.
Yeah, I said that.
Right? Yeah. Super producer Jason, just reminding everyone.
We don't have lives.
So, yeah, when we trade an AHL caliber forward for a third round draft pick, we'll be right here.
Yay.
Live.
Or nothing will happen.
You know what I think we should do, Jay? I think what we should do is on Friday, we'll show up here at 9 o'clock and just live stream until noon. And
You mean Thursday night?
No.
At midnight?
Friday morning.
Oh, Friday morning.
until noon.
Got it.
We have stale cookies by
then. Yeah, stale cookies. Yeah, Debbie's going to have to come back. More cookies. And salami cheese rolls, she said. Interesting. There you go. Very good.
Nobody knows what that means.
That's what she said. She's going to bring salami cheese rolls, which I'm thankful for and grateful for. Thank you. Anyway, moving on, upcoming games. Are we good now?
Yeah.
Okay, very good. So we have three, and that is on Tuesday. Three home games, yes. Mm-hmm. Tuesday against the Stars, Thursday against the Islanders, and Saturday against the Senators. This one's a little bit earlier of a game, 4 p.m. puck drop. Now, last week you had talked about us having a better chance of winning against this team or that team, and the Sharks shut you down. So do you want to venture a guess at any of these? Perhaps the early 4 p.m. start means something one way or the other to you.
There is a Women of Teal giveaway jersey for that game. I just looked that up, and it's a pretty cool design, if you could see that on the screen right there. So there's a giveaway on Saturday. This week, against those three teams, the Islanders would be the only one that I could see. And the Senators, too. The Senators game will be interesting because that's after the trade deadline. Okay. So the team will look very both teams will look very different. The Senators are also losing, so they're going to be sellers. And they have some bigger name players than the Sharks do, for sure. Tarasenko and a couple other guys. So I think that could go either way because both teams are going to be pretty much probably devoid of all of their star power at that point. The Dallas game, I think Dallas is going to come in and they were kind of, I want to say they were a little embarrassed that they only won the shootout against the Sharks at home. So I think they're going to want to come out strong. Plus Pavelski back in the house, you know, that's always a good game. Yeah. But then Thursday against the Islanders, I could see that game being close, but the Islanders they're a defensive team. They don't score a lot of goals, but they don't give up a lot of goals. They're the team the Sharks wanted to be this season. Stingy on defense and conservative and getting their offense when they can. But that's the only
Debbie way. Debbie says no more cookies, by the way. Oh. It has nothing to do with the upcoming games, but Debbie's just letting you know she's shutting you down.
Yeah, that's fine.
So, okay, anyway. So you think that the Stars, I was going to say the Stars are probably going to be, like, I think you're right. I think the Stars say, you know what, that was a little embarrassing.
Yeah.
Let's take it to them.
Absolutely.
So I think you're right on that one.
I wonder if we see Magnus in one of these games, too.
You kind of have to, don't you? I mean, there's Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. There's a game or a day in between each game, so you could roll
Kakinen.
But what if Kakinen's
traded?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Ooh, so that's actually interesting because if Blackwood is still out, Kakinen gets traded, you've got Krona and insert goalie here. Like, there's not a whole lot of guys.
And they're not doing well
in the AHL. Yeah, this could get really ugly really fast.
Maybe we say goalie come back.
Goalie come back.
In a trade.
Oh, okay. Come on, that was a good one. I liked it. You're laughing.
Was it?
Yes, it was. Dang it. Okay. There was someone was going to... It was in the standings. I just noticed... Can you pull up the... We have a little monitor over here, this little off-screen thing. Can you pull up the standings one more time? Because I noticed something about the Sharks' differential, and it is absolutely horrendous. And I think they're the only team...
Chicago is close.
They're close, but the Sharks... Goal differential is -106. The Chicago Blackhawks was at 98.
Yes.
How appropriate.
Yes.
So, wow. Next in line, the Anaheim Ducks have 54. I don't know if there's anybody above that's worse than that, but they can't be that higher up in the standings.
Montreal's 46.
Which is the next. Oh my goodness, that is a lot of goals against. Now, there's a couple things here that I wanted to bring up, but
the two double-digit games.
What double? Oh yeah, yeah. 10, no,
that's obviously, 20 goals right there.
Obviously. Now, having said that, the Blackhawks must have had some pretty bad games too if they're -98.
I don't think they would. I can't say for certain.
Maybe not
double
10,
digits.
Maybe not 10 goals.
But
against.
Consistently 6, 7, 8 goals.
Exactly. So, So the Sharks have 36 points, and the Blackhawks have 35 points.
But
I want to revisit.
Sharks have two games in hand.
Oh boy. Okay, so we're probably gonna end up with more points than them. Now, what was the number? What was the magic number again? 50 something points.
68.
68 points.
Yeah.
68 points was the magic number.
Yeah.
We're not even gonna get close.
Nope.
Do you think we'll break
50?
50. I don't think we're even gonna break 50.
I'm gonna answer that next week after the trade deadline to see who's left.
Yeah, fair enough.
Also, if they shut down Couture, no. If Hurdle comes back.
Maybe.
Hurdle should be back in about another week.
Do you even bring Hurdle back at this point?
Yeah, that was just a cleaning it out. I think he needs to play. He needs to play out the season. There's no reason to shut him down because it wasn't surgery. It was orthoscopic where they go in and they just clean out the junk. That's it. And then you're fine. So he should be, his knee should feel smoother and should feel like new. There's no reason. If this was in end of March where he did it.
Yeah.
And he comes back for the last week? No. But he's going to be back for almost the entire month. That's your star power that's going to sell you tickets to for the last handful of games.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I still think
your star power. I think he comes back.
I still think your star power is in a man named William Eklund. Just saying. I'd buy a ticket for Willie Eklund.
No, you wouldn't.
Yes, I would. Come on now. I think 22 wins is our ceiling. Yeah, Andy, I think you're in the ballpark. They're currently at 15 for those. Yeah, so we have 15 wins. Do you think they even hit 20 wins? Because we had 62 games played, right? So we have 20 games left.
Are we talking regulation wins?
Do you think we get to...
They're at 15 wins right now. So it's only 5 more wins. Yes, I think they get 5 more wins.
You do?
I think they'll get to
20. In 20 games.
Yeah. That's one every 4 games getting a win.
I don't think we get it.
So you're saying there's a chance.
I don't think we get it. What's our percentage is less than that. It's 2.235. That's less than
it's 0.3.
It's less than 1 win every... Anyway, no, I don't think the Sharks get to 20 wins. I don't think it's going to happen, personally. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Do you think Quinn's job is safe?
I honestly, I know so many people are calling for his head. Why?
I don't understand why.
I mean, why? Because so if we had somebody else in there, let's say we had John Tortorella or somebody else in there, all of a sudden we're a playoff team?
No.
I don't see it.
No, nobody would be able to come in and not even like mid-season. Even if you had a different coach from the beginning of the year, nobody's going to make this playoff team.
Yeah.
When you're missing Couture for most of your season, Hurdle for a good chunk of the season,
yeah.
Blackwood is now hurt. No.
Granlund had been out. Barabanov. Yeah. You know, I mean, there's just too many things. Look, there's something that the Sharks need, and it's not a coach. It's talent. Okay, and unfortunately, the Sharks just don't have that right now. And having another guy behind the bench telling them "go" is not going to make a difference right. One way or the other. Yeah. So, is his job safe? Probably, yeah. And honestly, I would probably just leave him there until either he decided he wanted out, or until the Sharks were on the cusp of starting to look like they might compete for a bubble position. At which case, then you bring in the guy that you want to have your core going forward. But for now, there's really no reason to fire Quinn. I don't see the reason.
Andy, man, we've won 15 of 60 games so far, so 20 wins is basically continuing at the same rate we have all season.
I think we get worse. I think we're falling off. And I think after the trade deadline, we're going to fall off more. And we're going to play teams that are playoff teams that are going to have bolstered up a little bit and have something to play for. And we're going to play teams that are on the bubble and think they're going to make playoffs and play us harder. I don't know. I don't think we hit 20.
Do I smell another cookie bet?
There is not a bet so much as my opinion. And I just don't think it's going to happen.
Pint of the face. You set the president.
Presidents?
Yep.
Precedents.
Like Biden or?
Precedents. Precedents has been set. Pie bet?
What was the word? What was the word you used earlier that you couldn't say?
Not going to work anymore.
Dang it.
I don't know.
Ask the chat.
Cerebro. Anyway.
Nick HBK, pie bet. It's on.
Then you can do the pie bet, Nick.
He's scared. He's scared.
I've already been there, done that. We had a bet. You lost. I had a bet. I lost. You had a pie in the face. I got a jersey. We're done.
Send your champion, Devereaux.
Hey, Devereaux, yes. If Devereaux's on board, we'll do a bet, and whoever wins gets to hit him with a pie or something. I don't know. Poor Devereaux. It's like, I did not sign up for this. Poor guy.
He has left the chat.
Devereaux has left the chat. All right.
Ryan Sontag, LeBanc jersey bet.
That's
fantastic.
That is cruel, Ryan. I love it, though. That's very good.
I bet they're on sale.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, I don't know. Is there anything else to... We've got some good comments at the end of the show. No, thank you guys.
Everyone's loving the bet now.
What bet?
The bet we just made.
Okay. Nothing else? We're good? We're good?
No, it's okay. Just all about the bet.
Well, guys.
We do play the Blackhawks twice still.
I knew the risk. Nice, there we go. Gosh, what time is that? 10, 15? Somehow we managed to keep it under the 3-4 hours that we had estimated since we had four games. Oh, Breaker says, I agree with Paul. Sharks aren't going to win 20 games. So the bet is now between Breikar and Devereaux. And we'll get them on the show. We've got space. They'll fall in the void. Anyway, guys, again, I appreciate you being in the chat and doing this with us. It's so much fun when we have you guys in there giving us some suggestions, giving us the feedback, talking about bets that aren't going to happen. So we appreciate that so much. Again, if you guys like the show, please hit that like button. It does help the algorithm get it out to other Sharks friends and family. And if you would like to get it to your Sharks friends and family, please feel free to hit the share button, the repost button, the other things to get it out to them button, whatever those buttons are.
Go on.
Click them.
Do it.
Click them all. Especially the subscribe button. If you're not subscribed, I don't know why. Maybe because we ramble. But if you would like to support the show and know when we're going live, you can go ahead and do that. Also, as Super Producer Jason's put on the screen, you can support us in numerous ways. One being on Venmo. You could tip us there at the Finn Factor. What? Oh, or you can get us cookies.
Right.
You can bring us cookies. Right. Absolutely. All right, you can also, much easier, from the comfort of your own home, you can use the Super Chat function. Any of the comments that you put there or in Venmo, or if you write it on a cookie, we'll go ahead and read that out during the show, or if it's after the show, we'll do it on the next show. And it's just a good way to make sure that your comment gets read. Also, if you would like to support the show but get something back in return because you're selfish, go for it anyway. Visit the website, thefinfactor.com, and you can check out all the hats, shirts, water bottles, dang it, stickers and other things, and confetti will fall from the sky and you will feel like a great human being. So absolutely go check that out. It's got a lot of good stuff on there for you guys. Poop emojis, there you go. Super Producer Jason just having fun now. Wonderful. Anything else, Aaron?
Find us on Spotify.
You can find us on Spotify. Thank you for your contribution.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You can collect your check at the door.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's a lot of talking on this end of the table. And for that, I apologize. So, is there anything else you wanted to bring up? Last little thing? I think one more. Just thank you, Debbie, for the cookies. Do appreciate the cookies. Aaron, I'm going to take some home for the kids because we have several. Oh, there you go. Super Producer Jason, are you going to zoom in on those? Super Producer Jason's working some camera magic. Look at that. The zoom. Oh, man, those look good. I should probably have another one. I'll have one later. Anyway, again, thank you guys so much. I do appreciate you and for all the support you guys give us and for all the chat that you guys give to the show and everything else. So, for Super Producer Jason, I'm Paul.
And I'm Aaron.
I'm Robert.
We will see you guys.
This week.
Before.
No.
No, it, before the trade deadline.
Yeah, I said this week.
Oh, this week. Okay. See, I couldn't hear him. Thanks for tuning in. If you like this episode, check out our other content, especially interviews. You can interact with us directly through social media at The Finn Factor and on Instagram at Finn Factor. And don't forget to join our live streams on YouTube.
Visit our website at thefinfactor.com, where you'll find all of our episodes as videos or podcasts. You'll also find our exclusive merchandise to help support our show.